and rejoicing. So they changed the nuance so that even someone who was not at all learned felt that he was able to be in the service of God, and he had less of a complex, so to speak, over his lack of knowledge. I mentioned to you Joy, the Baal Shem, as I mentioned to you before, was against fasting and against torture, self-torture. He was for people being in a very joyful and optimistic frame of mind. This was, again, based on the idea that a person is in constant communication, contact with the Ribbono Shel Olam, with God, and because of that, the Torah, the Talmud tells us that Ein Hashchina Shore, that the Shechina does not have any contact with a person if he is a morose person, if he's a person who is depressed. Ela mitoch simcha shel mitzvah, only through the rejoicing of mitzvahs. So therefore, everything had to be done in joy through rejoicing. Now, again, how that translates into practical everyday behavior, that's something else also. Whether it translates into having to dance and sing, or whether it has different expressions, that we will see. But the idea of it certainly existed. The Besht also introduced the idea of the widespread use among men of the mikveh on a daily basis. In Kabbalah, it has its origins, and in Hasidic life, it became a norm that one purified himself daily, and in order to have great spiritual exaltation. And finally, the tzaddik, the Rebbe, the holy Jew, the good Jew, he became the centerpiece of service of God. He was like the generator to the power station, that if you had your plug plugged into him, so then the holiness generated by him reached you as well. It became part and parcel of you. And eventually, in Chassidus, the Rebbe became almost superhuman. The later Rabbeim said that the courtyard of the Rebbe was like the Beis HaMikdash. The Rebbe was like the Kohen Gadol. I mean, they saw him in those terms. They saw him not only in terms of someone that couldn't do anything wrong, but they saw him in terms of someone that had not only influence in heaven, but a great say in what was going on. And they ascribed supernatural powers. And it became customary among Hasidim to tell stories and legends about their Rabbeim, and to invest them with the aura of miracle workers, of people who could accomplish great things and who knew great things. Now, the Baal Shem died in 1760. And because Chassidus then was still a revolutionary movement, the mantle of leadership in Chassidus did not pass directly to the Rebbe's descendants. We will not have dynasties by the Chassidim the way we have dynasties today for almost another 100 years. Because in the formative part of its history, the mantle of leadership did not pass so much through genetics as it did through merit. It was a very democratic and meretricious society.